Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Republican legislative leaders are pushing a bill this year that would fire the members of many key policymaking boards in the state, including the Utilities Commission and the Coastal Resources Commission. The legislation would allow Governor McCrory and legislative leaders to replace the board members with their own appointments. Here to talk about that effort and the rest of the first week of the General Assembly session is Representative Susan Fisher from Buncombe County. Well, Representative Fisher, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Quite a start in the to the General Assembly session. Yes. A lot to talk about in our few minutes, but let's jump in with an issue that's really been in the news, the move by the House and Senate leadership, the Republicans, to slash unemployment benefits to repay this debt. What are your initial thoughts about that proposal?
Well, I mean, it's always responsible to cut debt, but I think that what we have seen in this particular instance is cutting debt on the backs of middle class and lower salaried unemployed through no fault of their own folks in North Carolina. It's a really difficult time. This recession has just been devastating to a lot of families. That's pretty much what it does.
It's really striking to see that a lot of the amendments offered by the folks on the Democratic side of the aisle, some of which would make minor changes to the bill, even to allow emergency hardship cases,
were
all went down on basically party line votes.
That's absolutely true. We had several really good amendments, and I was really pleased to see all of our Democrats sort of sticking together on what we thought were very reasonable requests of the other side. And as you said, none of them were successful.
The process itself is always a question. I know people who aren't in Raleigh, maybe sometimes it feels like inside baseball, but it's interesting that there really hasn't been a lot of outside experts come in to talk to committees, or we don't really know a lot of it's a very complicated bill, and the majority seems to want you to trust them.
Right. That's interesting that you say that, because we as a caucus did actually have both sides of this issue presented to us. I think that actually helped sort of unify the caucus around the idea that this was not, it was a wrong-headed way of going about solving this problem. I think people were convinced that by making it even more difficult for people who left their jobs through no fault of their own to do things like pay tuition, pay their house payments, pay their medical bills, that this was just too drastic a way to solve that problem.
One other specific I wanted to ask you about is that there is an opportunity to allow 80,000 folks who've been long-term unemployed to stay on the rolls at no cost to the state.
Exactly.
An amendment to do that was also defeated.
Yes, and that was, you know, part of the outcome of the bipartisan fiscal cliff agreement that we saw at the federal level. And what I'm waiting for, Chris, are some instances where we can work across the aisle and do some things that do show a spirit of compromise and of sort of thinking about how people are doing out in the communities around the state instead of sort of keeping it all inside, as you would say. And I have not yet seen an opportunity to do that.
It was interesting that at the same time the House was initially debating the plan to cut benefits, the Senate was passing a bill not to expand Medicaid that would cover 500,000 low-income individuals.
Yes.
And, now that's in the lap of the House. And what are your thoughts about that?
Well, again, this is another instance where it's sort of cutting off your nose to spite your face, you know, in a way. Because who are the people that are going to suffer from this? It's the elderly, the disabled, blind, children. Where is the compassion? I think that in their effort to send a very strong message to the Obama administration that they don't like the health care plan, they're angry because Obama got reelected, I think, basically, that they decided again to take it out on elderly, disabled, and children in the state.
I was talking to somebody about this earlier, and do you think the people of North Carolina really understand what's actually happening? It's hard to imagine folks would support these two things we've been talking about.
Well, I think that there have been a lot of really good grassroots efforts to get out there and explain just in very basic terms what this will do to folks. And I believe, you know, if they don't understand it now, I think that they will certainly soon understand. They'll feel the effects.
Another bill that popped up this past week, which is getting a lot of attention, is a move by Republican leaders to basically wipe out the membership of a lot of influential boards from the Utilities Commission, the Coastal Resources Commission, the Industrial Commission, a lot of others, and put all new Republican appointees in place, which is something that I've never even seen before.
I think that this is sort of a first for me, too. I came into this job sort of struck by the fact that even if Democrats were in charge, they did at least make an effort to have some balance in terms of appointees to boards and commissions, to judgeships, to the courts. I'm trying to think of a time when a governor or a party of the governor went to this great length to essentially pack boards and commissions with only like-minded people. It's a pretty bizarre way to go about governing, I think.
It reminds me a little bit of sort of the way Washington works, and more not Raleigh.
Right. And you know, it strikes me that gradually, as we have seen the Republicans come into power, that they've tried to sort of emulate what's going on up in D.C. And we're so not like D.C. I don't think we've ever been like D.C. And I think that we, you know, not that that's a necessarily bad thing, but we need to pay attention to what's going on in North Carolina and what's happening with the people in our state. And what happens in Washington doesn't always translate to what is happening in North Carolina.
What sort of challenges does it present now, being a member of a Democratic caucus, when they have a supermajority in both chambers, they have the governor's mansions, first time they've controlled, and they control the North Carolina Supreme Court after the election? So it's a different day.
It really is. And I think that yesterday was sort of an example of how different it is, because we celebrated the 50th anniversary of the legislative building. And a lot of the former legislators who were here a couple of sessions ago, and then some who were defeated last election, returned for that recognition of the 50th anniversary of the building. And they were struck by what a different feel there is, a different vibe. Even some of the lobbyists and legislative liaisons who come into the building to distribute information about different topics, I think they've checked in with me occasionally to say, wow, it really feels different here. The people who were just there to hand information out to the different offices don't feel quite as welcomed, I guess. So it is a very different time.
Finally, before I let you go, what's at stake in all these in these issues? Not the ones we've talked about, but we're still struggling from trying to come out of a recession. We're talking about how to fund education. There are huge issues at play here. What's at stake for North Carolina in this 2 years?
Plenty at stake. We have the potential to see very much less value placed on public education. We heard earlier the talk about how the UNC system should be in place only to educate a workforce. In other words, a liberal arts education doesn't seem to matter to this administration quite as much as it has in the past. We're going to see, again, through bills just like the ones we've dealt with this week, hurtful things happening to unemployed people, damaging things happening to people who are elderly, disabled, very young. It's just a very different time with plenty at stake, I believe.
Well, Representative Fisher, thanks for what you're doing in the legislature, and we really appreciate you being with us.
Well, it's always my pleasure to come visit.
Up next, a new way to think about manufacturing in our state. Stay with us.